Stand for the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please. Here. Here.
Absent. Durkin. Absent. Jake Epelon.
Here.
Ron Ware.
Here.
Robert Ochi.
Here.
Lavon Ticker.
Present.
William Baker. Absent.
First, next item up is the approval of the February 21st, 2024 minutes.
Mr. Vice Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to amend the minutes. And the motion would be to modify today's agenda under item 9C and change the wording approved to reject.
Okay. So the minutes to be approved is written and the agenda would be changed to include, instead of the approval on item 9C, to reject. Oh. Right. No second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor of the motion? Mrs. Lambert? Yes?
Tom Dagdeckie?
Yes.
Dave Castellano?
Yes.
Ron Ware?
Yes.
Robert Ochi?
Yes.
Lavon Ticker?
Yes.
Chairman's report, chairman was detained today, so I'll kind of fill it in today. We've got a lot of things on the agenda, so I'm not going to belabor what's going on, but we've got a lot of things happening out in the field and a lot of things coming up, as you can see on this agenda. So I thought we're just going to get right into it. Finance report, approval of claims for March of 2024. What say the board?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve the claims for March of 2024 in the amount of $1,005,497.81.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Mrs. Lambert? All right, actually, Dan, why don't you expound on the big things that are in there? I'm sorry, getting ahead of myself.
A couple of the larger ones, a lot of the larger ones, Austin Equipment, totally, there was four claims from that project, which are hard stitch, $103,258, $142,608, $75, $73,933, and $101,780.70. Unfortunately, the surveyor's office was in the middle of a move during this, and evidently this sort of got caught, these claims got caught in the move, and so they got it to us a little late after the project. We asked for them every month, and they have found them. So for those four projects for hard ditch, those are all complete and done, and that will include retainage. So that's all a large portion, almost $350,000 worth of claims. Lake County Parks, which is reimbursement for the Lake County Conservation Collaborative, they will be presenting, by the way, to us next month as their vision for the entire project area from I-65 to Indianapolis Boulevard and thereabouts. That's one. Hobart Sanitary District for $29,000. That's a reimbursement for the Stinky Creek Lateral 6 Diversion Regional Stormwater Project that they had put an application in for. A couple other larger ones, Hassie Construction for $90,733.39, which is the pipe that you had seen that we have finally found that drains part of Gary and Rosser Lake and Lake Station underneath I-94. They put a fix in. I will tell you that there was some erosion after the 2-inch rain that we got, and they just finished. So they're going back out there, I think today or tomorrow, to put some erosion control and to build it back up to where it is and to clear out the drain. $62,000 for the pump station upgrade through Superior. Those are the upgrades that we're doing not only for Grand West, but for North and Marshalltown. So they're almost at a point where they're putting them out for bid for the reconstruction of those PLCs and other components to it. And then Cruiswick Trucking for boulder installation. We added some boulders along the where the rock ripple is because we've had people driving into the mitigation area. And then we added some along Central Avenue because we had some, and we still continue to have some four-wheelers drive into Marshalltown. So that is an amount for $32,218.29. And then everything else, I believe, is some of the lower amounts, but I'd be happy to answer your questions.
Yeah, Mr. Gostecki.
The work Superior Engineering is doing for the panels on the pump station upgrade.
Yes.
I see that they've invoiced $62,000, and it says upon electrical panel order replacement. I didn't realize we had ordered a panel yet.
We haven't ordered a panel yet. When I last left them, the meeting was at Superior was that we were finalizing SCADA information and the final drawings per Glenn, who is managing our pump stations. So that's where we left it off with them.
So we have no purchase order, no proof of what was ordered, no deliverable?
I haven't seen one personally, no.
So why would I approve something that we don't have? Payment on something we don't have?
Well, unless I would say that they ordered it and or they put the drawings out for bid, I don't know. But I don't have a draw. I don't have a draw, or I don't have any item that shows that I have the actual PLC.
Are you suggesting that we?
I mean, our contract doesn't call for us to prepay for any procured equipment, does it?
Don't have the contract in front of me, but I don't know.
Well, I have a difficult time approving the payment on that if we don't have anything in hand or even.
I don't have a panel. I don't have any. We don't have any items for it. I don't have a.
So how does that work with Mr. Wickham?
I think that you're correct, right? You probably have anything to be in the first.
Amend the amount less that line item, which is perfectly okay. We've done it once. You okay with that, Mr. Ware?
Yes. The amendment.
So why don't you restate the motion?
Then I would make a motion to approve the claims for March of 2024. In the same amount as I stated, minus the $62,000 even from the Superior Engineering bill pending review.
Who made the original second?
Second.
Okay. So I got a motion to second. Ms. Lambert? No, this basically
was the amount first.
We're basically amending the original motion. Less that line of $62,000. Yes.
Yes.
Dave Capuano?
Yes.
Ron Kiler?
Yes.
Robert Ogi?
Yes.
Rohan Pittsburgh?
Yes.
Any other questions regarding the claims? I've got some questions, but I'm going to hold that to your report, Dan.
Okay.
Okay.
Right.
Next is the executive director's report.
You might want to approve the you approve the claims as amended.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm fresh.
That's okay.
All right. So we had the amended motion in a second. Mrs. Lambert, let's make a vote to approve the claims as amended. Yes.
Yes.
Dave Capuano?
Yes.
Ron Kiler?
Yes.
Robert
Ogi? Yes. Yes. The claim is approved as amended. Next is the executive director's report, Mr. Repair.
Yes. Because as you mentioned, we have a pretty decent schedule in front of us. I'll hit some of the high points. We will have an official closeout, not sure where or when, but we know when, June 24th. For the Army Corps and us to officially sign the closeout of the project. We've gone back and forth on who's going to take the lead on what issues. But that will be the date, so circle that or put that in your calendar. That's when everyone's available. You already approved the expedited review of the 408 so far. That's going well. That was on the claim list. They should have probably or could have said that. That was an opportunity for us to get the 408s, whether they're filed by us or by people in the watershed, to get an expedited review and response, not necessarily expedited approval, but at least for them to look at it so that it's constantly moving. And then inspections for the Army Corps begin April 8th with the Army Corps. On April 8th is NDOT. I do not recommend going out there on that day, but if you want to go out any other days, safety equipment is required. If you don't have some, please contact me, but that's where we go through the pump stations and the gates and walk the whole entire levee and do document issues. So from the Corps' perspective, that's what we have. With respect to pump stations, it has been already brought up. The Superior is doing work on our, not only the PLCs, but the SCADA systems. And we're working with BLEM as well, who is our partner that takes care of the pump stations to make sure that we have everything that is required by us. And so they're in that process, and we're working to get it finalized so we can get them built and functioning. Right now, the PLC at Marshalltown is in poor shape, and that as is the one at Grand West. So the sooner we can get those moving and mobilized, that would be great. We plan on vacuuming out all the pits of all the pump stations prior to the inspections, so that they are clean and ready to roll before inspections. We will talk about sandbar modification, which is the sandbar that's located both either east and west of Kennedy. We're going through the process with the Corps and their 408 process. We've had a conversation, and we've had our own modifications due, the plans, and they've constantly reviewed it. It has been very timely. With respect to them getting back to us, Kennedy Avenue Bridge, we've applied for Ready 2 grant. We're still waiting word. Now it is no longer April. I just got an email today, as it normally happens, and it is now May. So May we'll know if we're successful nominee for that grant. Had a great conversation with NDOT with respect to the pump stations, not only on the boulevard, but on Kennedy Avenue, and then other possible areas where we could partner with them to not only ensure that 94 is dry as well during heavy rain events. We've got some ideas. They've got a plan back that they did back in 2010. And so we're going to work through that. We believe the Deep River tributary modeling should be ready for presentation in May. That's our goal, so that you'll at least see what is happening and how everything's working, and maybe identify some areas that we need to look at as far as choke points in the system. Hard ditch stabilization has already been awarded to Austin Equipment, and they are working with Munster Parks Department to define and help locate some better access to the ditch so they can do some work. And we've already started work on the Katie Marsh ditch from starting at the confluence with Hart's ditch, and we're moving our way east. We're going to soon get another group going from Klein Avenue and make them go west, and then we'll see how far we can get, and then hopefully we can go east of Klein Avenue. But we want to make sure that we do areas that we know we'll be able to finish. The Katie Marsh rate project was supposed to be done Monday. There's some disagreement between the town of Griffith and the contractor. So they're working those issues out, and hopefully, we've asked them to be done by April 9th. That's when the Corps permit for inspection. It would be very helpful for us to have that done at that time. And then, as I've talked before, Marshalltown Lake Station security, you put the boulders down, and still have some issues in Marshalltown with people with four-wheelers. We're going to take some signs up, although I don't think they're going to necessarily pay attention to that. But then we'll have to figure out what next to do. They are doing some decent damage to the levees. So with that, I will defer to your phone call. Defer to any questions you have.
Yeah, I guess I've got a few things.
Sure.
with regards to the pipe crossing over 94. Now that that's cleaned out and we've seen a significant drop in the water level in that area because of that.
There's been some, but there's now a beaver dam that's underneath the pipe, underneath Martin Luther King, south of the railroad track. So that's the next step. We're trying to get that cleaned out next. But it dropped initially. Then we had that large rain. There was some silting over of the inlet that we just had cleared. We got to clear that out. That's going to be what Hassie's going to do. Fill it up, fix some. You know, they finished it and it just, and literally the next day we had the rain. So they didn't put the stabilization stuff up and it sort of sloughed off.
And then you had discussed prior that we had some issues with the ATVs.
Yes.
We've got the inspections coming up. Mm-hmm. Are we going to be able to make any kind of remedial repairs prior to those inspections? And do you believe that we're going to have issues with approvals as far as the any rutting or anything?
Yeah, I don't think we'll be able to get anything meaningful done with the running, the amount of running that they've done along the toe of the levee. What will probably happen is they'll cite us and they'll give us some weeks afterwards to remedy the situation. And that could be helpful because it'll be warmer and hopefully by that time we'll have stopped the problem. So okay. It's going to be running for sure.
And then talk about the next segment of Hartsville Ditch. We got a lot of people in the crowd for their edification. Where's that segment starting?
Roughly 45th in Munster to Franlin. That's a rough to be a street. I mean, they go a little bit past Franlin, but it's Franlin would be the best geographical location.
Okay. That's all I've got. Anybody else?
So, Dan, why? I'm sorry.
Robert?
No. Why? Is there not enough time to remediate the problems with the running?
Well, two things. One, we can't stop them yet. Until we stop them, it's going to be continuous. And the fact that there is so much of it, it may go into six figures at this point. That's a guess.
Robert?
No.
David?
No.
Well,
no.
Big problem. Okay. All right. With that, we're going to go into the next segment, which is the three presentations. And according to Mr. Reefe, we only have got one engineering firm that's going to handle all three, which makes things a little easier. So, Romano, batter up.
I'm the lights for you.
So the first presentation will be Lake County Drainage Board Turkey Creek Lateral 1, which I believe is a request for some money for engineering for a drainage study. Name, rank, serial number.
Jacob Ballo with VFS Engineering, making this request on behalf of Lake County. Trying to get the shares cleaned up here. It doesn't seem to be a fun to work for me.
I thought I held technology. I see it right now. Where's our IT guy?
There you right now.
I'm sure David did like that.
There we go.
Look at that. Scary.
All right, so this is the Turkey Creek Ditch Lateral 1 drainage study we're requesting funding for. The project location, you can see here, is primarily between Avenue E and Griffith and Turkey Creek between Griffith and Cherrible, kind of in unincorporated Lake County. If you're still not familiar with where this is, it's important along Broad Street, and you're heading from Griffith to Cherrible, and it looks like the bayou's got Louisiana on either side of the road. That's Turkey Creek Ditch Lateral 2, or Lateral 1, excuse me. So the need for this project is drainage and hardships with flooding in the area. Those ditches are always full of water and it backs up into the town system. It's a hardship as the topography is so flat over there. We want to kind of get in there and see what issues we're having, how we can resolve that. There's maintenance difficulties for the county to try and maintain these ditches, again, due to topography and the woodlands and everything else over there. You can't really see it in this picture, but about 100 yards down the road to the right, the ditch actually heads east into that wooded area and is very difficult to maintain because there's no pass back there. There's no maintenance roads. There's nothing. And again, roadway safety is our third need here. I just took this picture a couple days ago. It's a very narrow down that stretch. There's not a lot of shoulder, and it's quite a bit of a drop into those ditches on the side. We want to kind of look at that in the study. What we're hoping to get out of this study is we'll review the contributing area flow, make sure we can capture as much as we can, investigate the challenges with the area, again, the topography, the woodlands, the wetlands. We'd like to collect a bunch of field data to confirm our initial investigations, evaluate future needs for this area. As Northwest Indiana continues to develop, this is an area that is essentially undeveloped for the most part, but we can see businesses coming in here, residential neighborhoods. We want to make sure that we capture any additional flows or needs for the area in this study as we make recommendations for solutions. And we want to present the improvements in a phased approach so that it can be tackled by the county and surrounding communities and smaller projects. And then we'd like to model the impacts of these improvements to Turkey Creek. Last thing we want to do is improve the water flow here and then just push it further down on the neighboring communities of Maryville. Project cost for this study, we're estimating to be $164,000 at an 80-20 share with the local commission here. It's a request of $131,280. And this area on the screen is the potential drainage improvements in the immediate area. And improvements here, we're hoping to see some improved drainage as well on the upstream and hopefully the downstream of this area. So short and brief, I'd like to answer any questions you don't have.
That's all in Lake County, unincorporated.
It's about 70% in unincorporated Lake County. The northern 30% is probably it's in the town of Griffin, from Avenue E south to Avenue H, the runs through Griffin, and then upstream of that, a portion that runs through Griffin, and then it pops back out into unincorporated Lake County north of Main Street, east of Colfax.
Where'd you guys come up with the 80-20?
That was a discussion between the county and the direction they wanted to go. I know Griffith is also getting on board to help the county with this, as they will benefit from it. So there's some cost sharing and improvement sharing there as well.
Anybody else?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
On the last or next to last page in your packet here, in the last paragraph, you identify that additionally Turkey Creek will be evaluated from James Witchin Drive and Sherrill to Lake George. Is that included in this engineering study?
Yes, and what that's referring to is any improvements we'd like to make to lateral one. We want to know the downstream effects so that we're, like I said, we're not pushing this problem further to the east or further downstream. We feel that by taking it all the way to Lake George, that's enough of a cushion and the distance to dissipate any additional flow to make sure that we're not harming the system.
I have one more question.
Go ahead, Ron.
Is the goal that it's one of the goals of the study also a benefit of possible future development and or businesses being able to be located or homes to be located in these areas if you're able to control the water?
Yes, sir. That's one thing we're looking at. We know that development is happening and the development comes to this area. It's kind of an isolated pocket within the reach surrounding communities. So we like to take those additional flows, make some assumptions and estimates on what we'd be seeing in the future to make sure that any improvements that are suggested last for years to come. And if I could back up one second to your previous question about evaluating Turkey Creek to the east. I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Dan, first did a model of that area that Little Cal has that we were able to utilize with any future improvements and run through that model so that we're looking, you guys are looking at, we'll be looking at the same information. We're not coming up with a separate model that may be giving you conflicting information. It could all jive with the systems you're using.
That model should be done by May, so probably the same.
The land, all the existing land in that particular area is owned by who? the municipality or have been incorporated?
Back up here, everything south of Avenue H, which doesn't show here, Avenue H of East West Street, just north of that arrow there. Everything south of that is unincorporated Lake County. Everything north of that is town of Griffin.
Is it private or is it public or?
It's privately owned, yes.
I don't think it's ever been developed.
Okay.
Well, it's been underwater for the last 15 years.
Yes, it's the swamp out there, basically, right?
Correct. We're hoping to maybe resolve some of that with some economic solutions.
That was all, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Next is the Wood Street Stormwater Lift Station Improvement Engineering Studies.
Just one last.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, no, I.
No, it's okay.
No, it's okay. Is currently any homeowners impacted by the level of that water? Or is there any roadway that's made impassable during an event?
Don't believe any roadways made impassable, but there are a number of homeowners that live in the area. I would venture to guess 20 to 40 that experienced flooding on heavy rain events in this area.
You didn't identify anybody in your application?
Well, the one reason I didn't is it depends on what solutions come out of this study. I hate to say that this is going to resolve flooding for 500 people. And after we get through the study and come up with solutions, it's not feasible to improve the drainage for that number of people. We'd like to improve the drainage and affect as many people in a positive way as possible. But I don't know that exact number without doing the study. So
there's no inundation map or anything like that you can share with us?
Not at this time.
Thank you.
All right. Anybody else?
No, sir.
All right. Moving along. Wood Street Stormwater Lift Station Improvements.
The Wood Street Stormwater Lift Station is located here in the heart of Griffin along the Katie Marsh Ditch. It's off screen right now, but just to the east of this site is the Army Corps Deep Tunnel and Raker that I believe you gentlemen are familiar with. Aerial impact of this station is it directly manages the storm water for approximately 475 acres. Does develop land within the town of Griffith, about 2,000 residential homes, 20 businesses, and plus or minus 14 miles of roadway that directly drains this pump station and gets pumped up and into the Katie Marsh Ditch. I say directly in the first line as well because indirectly it handles another 1 to 200 acres conservatively. As Katie Marsh level rises, most of the town storm sewer on the south half is gravity discharge through flat feeds and duct fills. When Katie Marsh is up, those systems close and it back feeds into this stormwater pump station. So on low flow, those acres aren't contributing, but on high flow weather events, there is an additional acreage of land that back feeds into this pump station. So the area is a bit bigger than this on heavy storm events. When we came up with the need for this project, from 2022, there was a lift station evaluation study done to determine the long-term needs for this site. Things that the study found was the need to maintain pumping capacity during power outages. Currently, the station has 350 horsepower pumps. One of them is a diesel and two of them are electric. During power outages, the diesel will run and there's a generator on site that will run one of the two electric pumps. So there's a need to increase capacity during outages so that we can get the full pumping capacity of the station. There was a preliminary design looked at to increase the just pumping capacity of the station by lowering the discharge head of the pipes. We'd like to improve the efficiency of this station by adding some BFDs and just extend the life of the station and alleviate maintenance concerns by automating some of the rakers for bar screens and take some of the human error out of it. At least the recommendations that came out of the study. The original request that was submitted to the board back in September was for the engineering design fee of all the recommended improvements. The town has since changed and would like to revise the request if possible to narrow it down to just the engineering design and construction of the replacement of the existing diesel pump with a electrical pump and to purchase and install a backup generator that will run the entire site. The reason for this change is maintenance with the diesel motor pump has increased over the years, and they have stopped making parts for this pump, so it has become increasingly difficult to maintain. So anytime that maintenance repairs are needed on this pump, it goes down for a longer period of time during each repair, which puts the station kind of in a peculiar situation, because if we were to lose power, we'd now be down to one pump, which is not ideal in storm events, which is usually when you lose power. So the request is being changed, if possible, to replace the diesel pump with an electric pump and upgrade the generator so that the station can run at full capacity during power outages, which is an immediate need for the safety of the surrounding neighborhoods. That changes the request here. The engineer's estimate for this work is $1,375,000. We are revising our request from 80-20 to 60-40. We understand that we are making a bigger request from the commission, so we'd like to put more skin in the game, if you will, which leads to a request of $825,000 for this project.
Thank you again, Jacob. You currently have a two-pump configuration, so you really have three pumps.
Yes, sir.
Okay. It's just that one of them is a diesel.
Yes.
Okay. And all of them have the same horsepower capacity?
Yes, they're all 150 horsepower.
And in the event of a large demand, can you repeat what you said earlier? All three run? Or?
Yes, large storm events, all three pumps will run at the same time and discharge. Excuse me. The concern is during power outages, the station as it operates today is limited to only running two of those pumps. And the concern is if the diesel motor pump is under repair or breaks during that outage, we're now down to one pump. So if we could replace it with an electric and get a generator that will run the entire station, then there is a redundancy there that allows for the system to operate in extreme conditions.
When you talk about the replacement of the pumps, are you going back with the same size, all three, or are you going to upgrade it?
We're only requesting the replacement of the diesel motor. The electric pumps, they're not an immediate need right now. We'd love to replace them in the future, but the immediate need is that diesel motor. And yes, it would be a one for 150 for 150.
Is it going to be like one of like a, I saw the Generac, it's going to be like that what you're proposing, like a natural gas electric?
I believe the natural gas ones for the service in the area, we could only feed up to a 200 kilowatt generator, and which we would need something larger, so it may have to be diesel, but I don't know that for sure.
Okay. Thomas? Robert?
Yeah. Okay.
On to the next one, the Wood Street Stormwater Improvement Project funding.
This project here is located along Wood Street from Lake Street down to Main Street, in the town of Griffin. And the purpose of the project, the project description is we want to extend a 36-inch interceptor sewer south down Main Street in a portion of the town that currently has no available stormwater outlet. The portion of town south of here, the stormwater just sits at grade until it can soak into the ground, which in years past wasn't as big of a deal, but as development happens in this area, there's less and less pervious area for the water to go and reach back into the ground. As I stated before, there's no available outlet for stormwater in this area, so it sits anywhere it can, primarily on roadway and the property of the surrounding businesses. This causes flooding, this causes roadway deterioration, it's a problem for traffic coming through here. This roadway experiences around 7,700 vehicle travels every day. Currently here, the town is planning to reconstruct Main Street to resolve all these drainage issues. They're spending close to $4 million on the full reconstruct of all this to put in new storm sewers and handle everything. The issue becomes there's no available outlet for the stormwater in here. Johnson's Ditch and Turkey Creek Lat 1 to the east are too shallow and too far away. So the most economic way to do this is to extend that interceptor sewer south to pick up this area. So area of impact, primarily east-west is along that Main Street corridor, which again handles a large amount of traffic, both commercial and residential, as businesses continue to go in this area. And then also to the north, you'll see that subdivision also will experience some relief from the sewer. As part of the design plan, we would be stubbing an overflow sewer to the east. This section of town was built around 60 years ago, and the design standards for storm sewers were different back then, so you have a lot of 6-inch and 8-inch storm sewer pipe that doesn't really have capacity to handle larger storm events, so water will pond on the roadway. Getting an overflow into this interceptor will also alleviate some of the flooding in this area. That's the primary purpose of this project. The engineering estimate for construction on this is $1.15 million. Originally, we had requested an 80-20, but the town has revised the request, and they'd like to go with 60-40, and again, invest more in their project, which leaves the request from the commission for $690,000.
Mm-hmm. Is this in conjunction with the prior one, with the upgrades?
No, sir. It does discharge to that pump station, but the station has capacity to handle this stormwater runoff, and you don't need one to do the other.
Thomas?
I have nothing.
Robert?
Yeah, just one question. You said lateral one for Sherman Creek won't be affected by this?
No, we would have liked to discharge stormwater here to lateral one of Turkey Creek or to Johnson's Ditch, which are both to the east, but the shallowness of the ditch in that area and the distance from the site, we couldn't get any gravity pipes to there. It would require a pump station to pump up into the ditch, which is not economically feasible for this project. It was much more feasible to go north with that interceptor.
But
just for clarification, this is east of, this is north of Main, mm-hmm. and east of what, north south?
East of Broad Street.
East of Broad, okay.
It's about midway between Broad and Colfax. It runs parallel with the Canadian National tracks there.
Where's the Colfax? Okay. All right, thank you.
Like 5 streets west of Colfax. 6.
It's got to be right by the rear of the track.
Yeah.
Yeah, it runs parallel with those tracks.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead, Ron.
Is this a type of project that the town has looked at any other type of funding mechanisms, whether state or federal?
For the Main Street improvement projects to handle the flooding on Main Street, they're using CCMG funding. However, that can't be used to extend a interceptor storm sewer. It has to use the roadway improvements, so they're spending fat money to try and get what they can on Main Street and improve the stormwater there. But this needs to really be done so that those improvements can go in, be constructed, and have an outlet.
What are you doing on Main Street?
It'll be a full reconstruct. We'll put a curved storm sewer inlets, a main storm sewer trunk line, lower the road a bit so that we can take runoff from the surrounding businesses. As it sits now, currently the roadway spots sheds water to businesses and their parking lots, that it just sits there. We'd like to capture as much as we can and get it into the storm sewer system so that we can want to get it off the road, make the road safer, and to just alleviate some flooding on our neighbors.
That can widen it too?
Marginally. There won't be a third lane or a turning lane or anything like that. There's not an approval within the right of way, but it will add maybe a foot to each lane.
Got a question?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
First of all, I'm going to compliment you on an impressive presentation. But I just like to know, I have a few questions, which are the economic benefit for this town that you're going to do this work, and what's the consideration for that? What would happen after that in the future?
Well, we're hoping by improving the drainage in this area, one, it makes it easier for traffic, so that's a great, and two, it allows the area property immediately adjacent to this to become developable.
Okay.
And it'll just allow for better thoroughfare of traffic. I don't have any numbers in terms of benefit, but it would definitely
Well, I'd just like you also, I'd like you to consider that when this project is granted, that you consider minority participation. And I'm going to be requesting that when you go forward and when we do approve this, if we approve it. But I would like to compliment you. I think it's a good project.
Thank you.
Anybody else? All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you all.
All right, we're going to move on to other issues and new business.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve Resolution 2024-02 and the interlocal agreement with the town of Maryville for the Grand Boulevard Drainage Improvement Watershed Project in an amount not to exceed $345,000, subject to final draft and approval by attorney, executive director, and the chair.
You have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
These, Mr. Repay. Sir? A little background here.
We're going to touch it here.
Sorry. That's all right.
Your mic on.
I think so.
Yeah.
This is Maryville went for a 50-50 match on this. This is on, I believe it's on one of their watershed project studies or one of ours. And what else to say great about it? Maryville has been very good to work with, and they completed on a timely and usually on budget process. So,
right. We have a motion and a second. We're going to go for the vote. Lambert? Yes.
Tom Vaughn.
Yes.
Dave Capuano.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
Robert Ochi.
Yes.
Lamont Richter.
Yes.
Okay. Super. Next.
Yes, sir. Mr. Vice Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve Resolution 2024-3 and an interlocal agreement with the town of Sherville for Grand Canyon Watershed Project in the amount not to exceed $64,000. This is subject to final draft and approval by attorney, executive director, and chairman.
All right, we have a motion. We have a second?
Second.
We have a second. Real quick, Mr. Repay?
Sure. It's a great name, first of all. Second of all, they've already done part of it themselves, and this is the second part of it. They'll help lead the water into Turkey Creek at the headwaters, and also helps to drain some area. And if you don't know where it's at, it's where the Sherville baseball fields are across the way. They have a nice bike path right adjacent to it, and that's all I have.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Roll call vote, Mrs. Lambert? Yes.
Tom Vaughn.
Yes.
Dave Capuano.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
Robert Ochi.
Yes.
Yes.
Moving right along.
Mr. Vice Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to reject Resolution 2024-04 and an interlocal agreement with the town of Dyer for the High Point Prairie Detention Basin Restoration Watershed Project in the amount not to exceed $32,800.
All right. I have a motion. I have a second.
Second.
I have a second. You can. I don't think you have to.
I mean, I think
we just go right to the vote.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Dave Capuano.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
Robert Ochi.
Yes.
Lamont Richter.
Yes.
All right. Next item. All right.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve Resolution 2024-05 and an interlocal agreement with Lake County Parks for the Spurlock Acquisition Watershed Project in the amount not to exceed $17,500, subject to final draft and approval by attorney, executive director, and chairman.
We have a second.
Second.
We have a second. Mr. Repay.
Sure. This property is adjacent to the property that the Lake County Parks came to us last year for. It's very similar. This one was, they asked for a little bit more money, and we asked them to go back.
and they came back for asking for $17,500. The rest of the money is accounted for either through grants or municipalities that have pitched in. This is the Lake County's attempt to have a park that is this far to the east or to the west. And it's at the headwaters of the Turkey Creek watershed.
They have a motion and a second.
Second.
Right?
Yep.
Roll call vote? Yes.
Tom Vessi.
Yes.
Dave Castellano.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
Robert Ritchie.
Yes.
Yes.
Item E on the agenda, we're just going to defer that to next month. Next item?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion to approve an agreement with Christopher Bieber Engineering for the Independent Levy System Evaluation Project. An agreement which includes surveying, hydraulic analysis, and freeboard evaluation for the entire levy system from the Indiana-Illinois state line to Interstate 65, and geotechnical evaluation for the East Reach only in the amount not to exceed $835,000 pending legal review.
All right, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a second. Very quickly, Mr. Repay.
Sure, the surveying is just to ensure that the levy that the Corps built it at is what it should be, including any settling. So that will occur from the state line to I-65. The geotechnical and the stabilization is work that needs to be looked at since most of those levees are plus 20 years old and also will be useful for the City of Gary's LOMAR application as they move forward applying to them.
Mrs. Lambert. Yes.
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 Robert Ritchie.
Yes.
Yes.
Next item up, statements from the floor. Anybody would like to interject? Please step up to the microphone, name, address. Anything you would like to tell us? 21. Going twice. Sold. All right, gentlemen, Mr. Ware.
I just want to thank the young gentleman for the presentations. Thank those in attendance this evening, and that will be all.
Okay. Mr. Whitaker.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. Same thing that Commissioner Ware said. Thank you both for attending. So I've got a semi-full house tonight. As well as the folks that were online as well, attending as well. It looks like we got our work cut out for free. So got our plan in motion and sort of our marching orders, and look like we're ready to go with the Army Corps as early as next month with inspection. So hopefully we get some resolution with the Marshall Town issue with the these folks. Right on there with the forward. This is sort of an ongoing issue. I know it's not limited to Marshall Town. Some other issues as well with forwarders throughout here that they're trying to resolve. So hopefully we get some resolution with it. It's taken under consideration, like David said. No need of us necessarily doing anything too much right now until we see what the inspection results come back with. So I'm looking forward to working forward to a resolution with that. Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair.
Thanks, John. Mr. Castellano.
Oh, I'd just like to thank everybody for the, especially young man, for the good presentation on projects and looking forward to working with you. As we go further, looking at all the money that we spend through contractors, and I'm requesting that these contractors, if we go forward in 2024, that they include in their projects participation by minority companies. I'm hoping that we can start doing that for 2024, and I'm going to be looking for guidance on that and participation. I leave everybody with this thought. Please listen to WOTH Radio on the second Monday of every month. Also, listen to WJOB, we make announcements on there, we keep the public informed. I leave you with this, I wish you all a happy Palm Sunday, a happy Easter, happy Ramadan, and happy Jewish New Year. Thank you.
All right.
Mr. Oche?
Nothing to add, thank you.
Mr. Gustak?
Thank you, everyone, for coming out. I appreciate your time and your passion about what we do. And be safe out there, enjoy the nice weather. I'm trying to.
Chairman Baker popped in, would you like to chime in there?
Certainly, nothing to add, sorry for my tardiness.
Okay, understand. I want to thank everybody for coming out tonight, want to thank Butler Fairman for the presentation. And we appreciate you guys coming and sharing your information with us. Our next meeting will be Wednesday, April 17th, 2024. We have a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
We have a vote on that, Mr. All in favor?
Aye.
For adjournment.